Hello. Hello and welcome to the brand new series of The Blame Game. Yes, we've got more laughs than Jeremy Corbyn has friends in the army. I'm Tim McGarry, and our regular panellists are, of course, Colin Murphy, Jake O'Kane and Neil Delamere. And our special guest tonight is a superb comedian, actor and writer who has gigged all over the world. She has a first-class degree in drama, which means she is fully qualified to tell people, never do a degree in drama. Please welcome the fabulous Lauren Patterson. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been off since Christmas, so I'd like to give you a detailed summary and roundup of everything that has been happening in Northern Ireland politics in the last few months. Well, I hope you enjoyed that summary of all the political developments. On the plus side, Northern Ireland, take a bow, because while we were off air, we became world beaters and record breakers. Yes, we now have more than 2 years without a government. But it's not all bad news. For example, if you're feeling stressed out at work or you sometimes feel you're no good at what you do, just remember, Karen Bradley is still in a job. Yes, the Secretary of State for doing nothing has managed to do nothing incredibly badly. Seriously, if they remake Mr. Bean as Mrs. Bean, she's got the part. We are living in very uncertain times, ladies and gentlemen. We literally do not know what is going to happen next. All we know for certain is that this year's Notting Hill Carnival will not be led by Liam Neeson. Now, on with the show. The audience asks the questions and our panel provides some very unreliable answers. So, what is our first question tonight? Our first question tonight is, who do you blame for Brexit? Yes, 650 MPs are still arguing about Brexit. It's political chaos. The UK government is now such a laughingstock, they've just been offered a Channel 4 sitcom and a 3-week run at the Edinburgh Fringe. We record this show on a Thursday, so by the time it goes out, literally anything could have happened. Ian Paisley could have been appointed Foreign Secretary. Well, to be fair, he knows an awful lot of foreign countries. Anything could have happened. By the time you're watching this, Yuri Geller could be the Prime Minister and Sinn Féin might have taken their seats. OK, that last one was too far-fetched. A no-deal Brexit is still a possibility, which is why we all have to make contingency plans. For instance, here on The Blame Game, we've already had a whip round for Neil Delamere's leaving present. But who can we blame for Brexit?
As long as you pay for it in euro, I'll be happy enough. So, yeah, since you've been off air, what's happened? Mrs. May's deal has been voted down 3 times. And as you said, the DUP haven't come on side. And Ian Paisley Jr. was at that Leave rally, wasn't he? Going, never, never, never vote for this deal that would cleave the UK in two. Never, not for all the tea in Sri Lanka would he vote for that. Then you had Marc Francois of the... He's the vice chair, I think, of the ERG. And he said he wouldn't vote for the withdrawal deal if they put a shotgun in my mouth. There's a man who knows that the Shinners haven't taken their seat. Doesn't he? Because that could be arranged, you would imagine. They don't know what they want. The MPs, they can't decide any sort of majority for anything. So they don't know what they want, but they know what they don't want. They're basically like toddlers. So you go, I don't want that. I don't want a common market. I don't want a second referendum. I don't want to revoke Article 50. What do you want? Fish fingers and ice cream. That's what I want. So you have this situation. One of the votes that was hammered was common market 2.0. Which is not surprised because basically it's a situation where you pay all the money into the organisation, you take all the rules from the organisation, but you're not allowed to influence the hierarchy or the making of the rules of the organisation. And it was called the Norway Plus or Woman in the Catholic Church option, right? So half the audience going for that. And then... and the worst of all is potatoes. Northern Ireland, oh, yeah, if there's no deal, Northern Irish potatoes will not be allowed to be sold in the EU. Now, what is the crack with... Now, does England always screw over Ireland? They screwed us over when we didn't have enough potatoes. They're screwing us over when we have too many potatoes. What is the correct amount of potatoes that we need...
So, Lauren, it's very, very divisive, and I hate to divide people. Which way did you vote?
That's the thing. I got a lot of stick because I'm from Newcastle, and there was the march from Sunderland to Westminster, so people were having a go at me for that. And I was like, well, to be honest, if I lived in Sunderland, I'd march to get out of there as well. Like, I don't really blame them for that. But Brexit has kind of been what's got me, not into politics, I still know nothing. I thought Sinn Féin was someone in Boyzone. I genuinely... It's close, isn't it?
Are you saying you know nothing at all about Northern Ireland politics?
Very little.
In fairness,
you want to be Secretary of State?
Definitely.
It's a character. It's a character. Where do they get the characters from? It's like a Lewis Carroll nightmare. Do you know what I mean? It's like Theresa Butt May. Like, she is a robot. It's my deal. Defeat it. It's my deal. Defeat it. It's my deal. Defeat it. Do you know what I mean? And you've got Jacob Rees-Mogg. That proves time travel exists. He's dropped in. Boris Johnson has taken an acid trip in the 1960s and never come round. No. And then who have we got? We've got Sammy Wilson. Who we can't even get to do his top button up on his shirt.
He genuinely looks like a taxi driver that's come in looking for a fare, doesn't he?
His tie's down here.
The Shinners, they're cheeky. They've got no right to be talking to anybody. They say, well, we're not involved. No, it's all West. We've washed our hands. And the wee man, Chris Hazard, their spokespot, he's popping up outside Parliament like some sort of brasser wanting to get interviewed by anybody.
Talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Come on, talk to me.
This is the other thing. The European Parliament now is going to do away with changing the time, summertime. So you might have to change your watch walking across the street in some towns in Donegal. like Newry will be an hour behind Dundalk, and Newry will be 6 months behind Belfast. So where are we now with Brexit? Well, it's very simple. At the moment, MV4 is more likely than indicative vote 3, but without the support of the ERG and the DUP, MV4 will rely on Labour backing the backstop. But Labour Remainers want to stop Labour backing the backstop to stop MV4 in favour of a second referendum or PV2. PV2, of course, would involve a choice of 1, 2, 3 on the EU, and the DUP and the ERG want to stop PV2, but the price of stopping PV2 might be stopping not backing the backstop and instead backing the backstop in MV4. You didn't see that written on the side of a bus, did you? So what is our next question tonight? Who do you blame for bigotry? Yes, boxer Michael Conlon recently entered the ring to chants of Ooh-ah, up the Ra. The Ra, of course, being extremely well known for their adherence to Queensbury rules. And some Northern Ireland fans showed their support for Northern Ireland by singing about how much they hate the Northern Ireland manager and half the Northern Ireland team. But who can we blame for bigotry?
You can imagine my shock and horror when I discovered that soccer fans here are sectarian.
Shocking, like, it's shocking. You know what I mean? It's up there with me finding out Gerry Adams played cricket or Arlene Foster said the rosary before she goes to bed. It just was shock. It no way represents Northern Ireland supporters, and the fact it's getting a bit more difficult for the bigots, and they are a minority of, as the manager, Michael O'Neill, said, mindless idiots, because he himself is a Catholic. You know what I mean? It's a bit hard to hate all Catholics when your best manager for quite some time is a Tig himself. No, it's a wee bit, and has got an MBE. Pope's got a wee bit intolerant. Pope last week says, stop kissing my ring. Right. Ring. And he said that because he's put the line down, ring, and they kept coming up. Did you see this? Brilliant clip. Look it up, brilliant clip. And they kept on coming up to try to kiss his ring. And it said to them, don't be kissing. So they kept on grabbing his hand. No.
It was like the weirdest game show you ever saw in your life. The first one to kiss the ring gets a prize, I swear to God. And he also told the faithful, Pontiff came out and told the faithful that while it's not sacrilegious to call Lionel Messi God, it isn't right. You can't call Lionel Messi God, and he's absolutely right. Because here in Northern Ireland, we all know what name belongs to George Best. That's it.
That was the problem with the Titanic as well.
You are up the rat thing. Wow, that's... Because it was in New York, that was the thing as well. And so they're all there, hey, you are up the Ray. You know, they're like, wow, who's this guy, Ray? I don't know, yeah. And,
that is the thing, because there's a lot of this sort of stuff. So Mary Lou McDonald had to apologise for walking behind a banner that said England out of Ireland. And she, like, that's a 40-year-old banner. And you go, because it's an Irish-American banner. And like Simon Coveney, the foreign minister, said, you know, this is unhelpful. And it is unhelpful because everybody is fraught with Brexit. And you go, like, Irish Americans, to some of them, not all of them, but they tend to not know as much about here as they should know. Didn't St. Patrick join the IRA himself? Yeah. He fought at the Battle of the Boyne to get the 39 counties to reunify. Yeah. It was him and James Nesbitt and Jackie Fullerton and...
They were the Holy Trinity.
They were the Holy Trinity in the Shamrock, yeah, because all Protestants are snakes and then all snakes are Protestants. I'm not sure how it works, but I do know that someday when Gerry Adams commands that the Pope will wrestle the Queen and whoever wins will be the King of Westeros forever. These are some of the people that you're kind of dealing with.
Yeah, yeah.
They all think you know somebody. I stand in a pub in New York, I hit that, and they come to hear your accent and they come up, my God, you're from Ireland? I'm from Belfast. Like, do you know Patsy McSurley from Cork? And do you know what really annoyed me?
Yeah.
there was sectarian abuse at the rugby.
Yes,
A Leinster Ulster match, and a Leinster fan.
So some Roy's got a guy shouted, "You're mad, Roy's a Yaris."
You know, that sort of thing.
You're overdrawn!
You only have one summer home!
And he was wrestled out of the ground, I'll have you know. Yes, get out! They want your sort in here.
You! Put the Pinot Grigio down and get out!
So what's our next question tonight? Who do you blame for a lack of class? It's been revealed this week that the royal family have had an increase in the number of people stalking them. Pathetic. I met Prince Charles a couple of years ago myself and didn't change me. Didn't change Tim McGarry, OBE. In fact, since Brexit, Prince Charles has been stalking me. He keeps ringing me up to ask if I can get him an Irish passport. But who can we blame for a lack of class?
I feel like I've become really, like, conscious about class because I spent so long in Newcastle and, like, everybody is the same. Everybody's scum. It's brilliant. You're all on the same level of the pond. It's fantastic. And then I went to London. I've got a posh boyfriend now, and I'm really aware about class. So I went on my first date with him, and he was wearing a suit, and I just automatically assumed he was a Tory. Like, purely... just because he was a boy in a suit and I'd not seen that before. I was like, oh, wow, you must vote Tory. Though, like, even my dad, like, when I rang my dad to tell him that I'd got a boyfriend who was a bit posh, I didn't think my dad would approve because we're a very, like, working class, down to earth family. And I'm telling my dad, like, all about this boy, and I was like, he's a bit posh, you know, he's a bit different to us. My dad wasn't saying anything, and I was like, oh, do you not approve? Like, you can put mam on. If you find it too weird, like, your baby girl talking to you about boys, put mam on, I'll tell mam. And my dad was like, no, I'm a modern man, I've had avocado twice, tell us anything. And I was like, all right, Alan. And I went, well, why aren't you saying anything? Like, all I want is my dad's approval, really. And my dad went, just not following. I went, why are you not following? He went, you said he wears a suit. And I was like, I don't worry, he's not a Tory. Like, I've established that. My dad went, no, I didn't think he was a Tory. But is it not a bit excessive to wear a suit every day? I went, well, it's Monday to Friday when he goes to work. What's your problem? And I could, like, hear the cogs in my dad's brain turning as he went, oh, work. Not just when he's in trouble and that. Not just when he's in trouble. But it's kind of, it is nice in a way, because I think I had a bit of a working class chip on my shoulder, and it's nice being with somebody who's from a different background, because you can take things from each other's lives. So we had our first Christmas together, and he went, let's bring one thing from each other's family into like our Christmas. And I said I wanted picky plates, and he was like, what are picky plates? And I was like, oh my god, has your family never? And like, some people call them different things, I get that. I was like, nibbles, like a party tea, bits and bobs, you know, when you have like sandwiches and cubes of cheese and hot dogs. I loved it when I was a kid, but now I look back, I'm like, that was poverty wrapped as a celebration. That's what that was. That is what that was. I was trying my best to explain. I was like, it's like a picky tea, like bits and bobs, nibbles, a party tea. He went, I'm not following. And I was like, right, it's like working class tapas. And he was like, right, I'm on board now. I'm in with that one. I can understand that.
The classy place here, you see, Lauren, here is very like Newcastle. It's very like northeast of England. It's, there's people, there aren't posh people here. There's people with money and people who don't have money. That, there's no actual, hello, marvellous, blah, blah, blah. They're English, right?
There's a few people,
but the people with the those sort of people, I suppose, all live in the North Coast.
North Down
and the Gold Coast. Wah, 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 the Gold Coast, marvellous. And there was a big power cut there a couple of weeks ago. And
In the middle, 9:40 on a Sunday night, in the middle of line of duty. Can you imagine the consternation in Coulthard?
Oh, my God! Javit, it's off!
Yeah. There'll be ructions.
Oh, there'll be absolute ructions. Quick, get the candles! Get the candles! Get them on the lawn! The lights out the front of the house have gone off now and can see how big it is. Quickly, go! Go! Run like the wind!
It's, there's probably one or two of them sitting around going, well, it was at that moment when I was there in the darkness, it really came to me, it really... just came home, just sitting there in the quiet, in the dark, in the cold. And I realised a jacuzzi without electricity is a bath, really, isn't it?
thank you very much for that. And our next question tonight is, who do you blame for wasting money? Yes, the people installing cash machines in rural areas seem to be wasting a lot of money. There's been a spate of ATM thefts using diggers. Now, come on, we've all forgotten our PIN codes now and again, but this is ripping the arse out of it. But who can we blame for wasting money?
Yes, the ATM robberies are incredibly... It's the complete opposite of contactless. It is the absolute... If you were to get the most opposite thing to contactless cash, this is it. It's basically some boy with a digger, so it needs to know how to drive a digger. Narrow this down a bit. That doesn't discount many people outside Belfast. So, it's they get a digger from a local building site. They come along, they rip the thing out of the wall and then lift it up and put it... The latest one, they put it in the the roof... had been cut off a people carrier, and they put the cash machine in the people carrier and then made off down the road with this cash machine poking out the top, looking like R2-D2, heading out of a hole. So there's nothing but comedy gold here. It's no one's reported that. Nobody's seen anything. Nobody's heard. This is a digger at like 3 a.m. It's the countryside. It's quiet. Do you know what I mean? If you have constipation, people 4 fields away know about it. Do you know what I mean? You go into the pub the next night and going, I heard you straining last night. And yet no one can hear a JCB rumbling down the street in a hole at 3 o'clock in the morning. Countryside, there's boys lying in their bed in a hole without even opening the curtains or going, that's a JCB 390. Just by the sound of it.
Thank you for that. Just time for our quickfire round. I will read you various newspaper headlines and I want you to be faster than the UK out of Europe. So any time in the next 10 years is good. Self-driving cars improve when watching bad drivers.
Prince Philip gets new job with Tesla.
Why not try a little ginger?
That's what my wife said when my notebook...
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Unless you're diabetic.
A doctor in your pocket
should be struck off.
And finally,
I had to watch a man almost beaten to death.
Protestant goes to Antrim County final.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the show. Please show your appreciation to our panel. Colin Murphy, Lauren Patterson, Jake O'Kane and Neil Delamere. I'm Tim McGarry. Until next time, don't blame yourselves, blame each other. Goodbye.